But we want to dive right in to part five of Stand Still and Go Forward. Amen. Praise God. I am so excited about this. This has motivated me. This has strengthened me and helped me in my own life. Listen, I go back and listen to our own podcast.
Yeah.
I go back and listen to what we've said. And the other day, some things were going on and happening. I pulled up the podcast and listened to last Sunday. Yeah. And I'm telling you, by the end of it, I was just so pumped up. And because it's the Word of God, okay?
That's right.
So are you ready to get into the Word of God today?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Are you ready? Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 13 and 14. Do I hear?
Woo!
A yell. Yes, we shout for the Word of God. Here's the Word of God. Now, this is when Moses is addressing the people. And remember this, Moses is speaking like this because he has developed his faith.
Yeah.
Moses, as a leader and as a pastor over the congregation of the children of Israel, he has developed his faith, spent time in the presence of God. The Bible says he was a friend of God. And so now he is standing up and he is addressing out of his heart of faith exactly what he's going to believe and prophesy. We're going to talk about that. And he's prophesying what he believes that's going to happen concerning this issue with Pharaoh coming to attack them after they have been set free.
That's right. You know,
the devil, he is not partial to anyone at all. He will come to attack each and every person. He's doing that because he knows the time is short. And so we're seeing more and more of the outpouring of evil.
Right.
We're seeing more of the growth of the attack of the enemy of the kingdom of darkness. But listen, you and I have something to say about this because
right.
we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We have the keys of the kingdom. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the power of
yes.
the Holy Spirit. Glory to God.
Amen.
Listen to what Moses said to them. Moses said to the people, and let me say this, are you saying this to your family? Are you saying this to your children? Are you saying this to the people that you work with? He said, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid.
Yes.
Stand still. And see by the eye of faith. When you see by the eye of faith, you are going to see the manifestation in the natural. So he said, see the salvation. That means the deliverance. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, the Egyptians whom you see today, what you're seeing today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you.
Come on.
And you shall hold your peace. Now remember, there are deciding factors and they are turning points in every single circumstance and adversity that you and I face in
yeah.
our life. It doesn't mean that the turning point will be instantly or immediately, because like David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There are things that you and I are going to walk through. We're walking through things right now. So here's one of the deciding factors, and here is one of the turning points that has to be in your life for you to see the manifestation of the deliverance and the salvation of God. Number one, you must join your faith with God's Word.
So good.
The two must become one in thought, in words, and actions.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a scripture of that. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 2 and 3. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did. Now, who is he speaking of, just as they did? He's speaking of the children of Israel. That's
yeah.
the reason in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Paul says that what happened in the lives of the children of Israel, they are examples for us. They're our examples today. So he said, for we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did. Yet they didn't join their faith with the Word. The New King James says they did not mix their faith with the Word.
Wow.
In other words, faith must be mixed with the Word. But listen to this. The Word is what brings faith. And when I get faith, then I must mix it with the word, with action. So he says this, they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what did they do? What they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. And we have addressed that concerning doubts and how you've got to cast those doubts out. You can't stop doubts from coming in, but you can definitely evict them and make them get out. Yeah. So he says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. Now, what did I just say? The promise produces faith, and then faith activates the promise. And we experience the realm of confident rest. And then I also put this in my notes in parentheses, and it is this, because this is the last part of the scripture. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. Yeah. Oh my gracious. That is good news for me, because I know that everything's going to work out for me if I just operate in faith. Yeah. So Pastor Cam, what keeps us from receiving the end result of what God has promised to us?
I think it's really good to read just in that same chapter of Hebrews 4. In verse 11, it says, so then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life, so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. Wow. The thing that keeps us from getting the results of faith that we want to see is unbelief. And one of the things that you can even notice just in the whole story, not just specifically in this one moment of Hebrews 4, but throughout the whole story of Israel, their faith was a roller coaster. And they would have moments where they were trusting in God, following after God, and they would come to this point in their walk with the Lord that they would waver in whether or not God would do the things that he said that he would do, whether that's at the Red Sea, whether that's if he's going to feed them in the wilderness, whether that's if he's going to give them water in the wilderness. And all throughout the story of Israel, you can find these points that keep them from truly experiencing all of the things that God wanted for them whenever they found a point where they doubted whether or not God would keep his promise. I know there's been plenty of times in my life, and I know in your life too, that we're walking with God, we're hearing his voice, we're reading his word. It can even seem like we're doing really, really well. You know, whenever the Israelites left Egypt, they were happy about it. They had gold, they had silver, like life was good. And then they came to another point where they had to choose to believe God's word despite a doubtful situation, despite a moment where they could get into unbelief. And that's the exact same thing that happens to us. We can get saved, we can experience healing, we can experience a financial miracle. It never ceases to amaze me. I've not been walking with the Lord as long as you have, but I know you've had these moments too. But it amazes me how there are times in my own life, no matter how many times God has provided for me financially, no matter how many times he's healed my body, no matter how many times he's done something, some incredible miracle, there's still these moments where I get to difficulty or a circumstance and I'm like, God, are you going to show up? As if I don't have this history with God that tells me he continues to be the man, the person, or he's not a man that he should lie, but he continues to be the person that he says that he is. But it's just so incredible that sometimes the distance between the situation and the answer to my situation, the gap can be closed by how quickly I choose to make the decision that I'm still going to believe. And I thought that was such a good point that you brought up at the beginning. It's not that all of a sudden we're going to come to this point where we never doubt, or that we never have a thought of unbelief pop up in our minds. It's actually quite the contrary. Part of our life walking with God is just this ebb and flow. We come and we're doing really good. We get to a situation where, okay, now it's time to trust him again. And then we keep on going, and we come to another situation. Now it's time to trust him again. But that's what we're talking about here. Those are the deciding factors and the turning points in our life of faith. When we make those decisions to say, hey, right here in this moment, I'm going to choose to believe. I'm going to mix my faith with the word of God, and I'm going to activate the promises of God through my faith. That's just such an important thing there, because unbelief will keep its focus on the facts of your present situation as if it's an impossibility. So that's what happens. We're walking with God, we're living this life with God, and we're believing, but then we come to a moment where we are offered the opportunity to not believe. But whether or not we stay in unbelief or switch into faith is determined by what we focus on. Are we going to focus on the facts of our present situation? Are we going to be consumed with the difficulties? Because that's what unbelief does. Yeah. Unbelief is consumed with the difficulties. It only stares at the circumstances and meditates on what is instead of what has been promised and what will be. So what we have to do, and I'd love to hear you speak on this, is we have to keep our eyes natural and spiritual, not just our spiritual eyes, natural and spiritual, focused on God and on his word.
Yes, and like you said, one thing that people think sometimes is this. If I'm doubting, am I in unbelief? Mm. That would be like saying, when I'm tempted, am I in sin?
Right.
No. Temptation comes, but you don't get into sin until you go after the temptation and yield yourself and the members of your body to the temptation, and then that becomes sin.
Yeah.
Doubt does not become unbelief. Doubt is actually the seed of unbelief.
Yeah.
So once doubt gives birth, it gives birth to unbelief. And what we need to do, what we need to understand, Pastor Cam, is this, and I've said this for years in my life, what we need is to starve our doubts and feed our faith.
Oh, that's so good.
And that is the key, starve our doubts, but keep feeding our faith. So in the natural, when you see things, again, you've got to turn your attention to God and to his word and to his promises. That's the reason. Let me read this to you I love this scripture in Psalms, the 19th chapter, verse 14. It's not in the notes, but it'll probably be up on the screen sooner or later.
Why you bring your Bibles to church, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. So it says that. Now listen to this, because this is so important for you to not only understand but you to activate in your life. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Mm. So here's the key. Let the words of my mouth, because whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. If I'm meditating on the circumstances, if I'm meditating constantly on the problems, then what's going to come out of my mouth is going to be doubt and unbelief. It's going to be fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? So therefore, fear is always, spirit of fear is always going to put in your heart that which is the opposite of what God says. Hmm. The spirit of fear comes from the power of darkness, comes from the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is built upon lies and deception. So the spirit of fear is going to try to put in your mind, okay? Spirit of fear can't make you do anything. Every action that we have out of fear is symptomatic to that which we believed that was based upon fear, fear-based.
Wow.
And so the actions that I need to take is going to come, my behavior, the words that come out of my mouth, is going to be based upon the meditation of my heart, the meditation. So what am I meditating on? I'm meditating on God's promises. I'm keeping them before my eyes. My son, attend unto my word. Keep your eyes fixed on these things. I know in times of my life, my family, the church, other things, I've had to pull scriptures out. I was doing this morning. I have had pulled the scriptures out, and I meditate on those scriptures. I will say those scriptures out loud. I will speak those scriptures. Why am I speaking those? Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms that my tongue is like a pen of a ready writer.
Yeah.
My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So what I'm doing is when I'm speaking the word of God out of my mouth, I am writing on the tables of my heart. Mm-hmm. My ears hear it. It's going down into my spirit man, and my spirit man is like Moses, is becoming strong so that when I see something, I will stand up and begin to declare what God said instead of declaring the doubt and the unbelief.
So
listen to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, verses 11 through 12. 2 Chronicles 20, 11 through 12. And here's the children of Israel. They are having a major situation, a problem. A lot of people are coming against them at this time. Multitudes of people are coming against them. It's overwhelming. And always remember this. Always remember this. The Bible tells us, Jesus said this, with men it is impossible, but with God,
All things are possible.
Say that. All things are possible. Regardless of what your situation is right now, it is in the all. Oof. And all things are possible when it comes to God. If you and I will trust Him, will begin to declare, and we're going to see that in just a minute. But here's what the children of Israel said. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession. Man, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm telling you, there's a lot going on in our nation right now where churches are being shut down. Things are being done right now against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things are being said against the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you better wake up. You know you're under attack when in the state of Nevada, shut down the churches. You can't go to church, okay? They shut down the churches, but the casinos are open. Now, what does that say? Come on, wake up. What does that say? That means the spirit of the fear and the spirit of the devil is behind these things that are attacking and coming against the church. Why?
That's right.
Because the church is the moral compass of the nation.
Yeah.
The church has the keys of the kingdom, and we're the ones that can come against the devil in the spiritual realm and cancel out his assignments and plans if the church will stand up, just like we see here, believe God and begin to declare, begin to prophesy, and begin to pray and intercede, because this is what we do. When we come into positions like this, we fix our eyes on God.
Yes.
Don't tell me God can't fix it. When we fix our eyes on Him, God becomes a fixer, and He will fix it for us. Listen to what He says. Here they are by rewarding us, by coming to throw us out of your possession. He's always trying to steal the promises of God from you. Mark 4 chapter says, immediately the devil comes to steal the word.
Yeah.
It says that you have given us to inherit. We have our inheritance. We have our promises. Oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude. This was overwhelming. We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. Now, the one thing that we need to understand here is God begins to work as we begin to pray and we begin to believe. Everything that we're praying and believing does not happen instantly the moment we start believing. Listen to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 11 through 13. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence of the full assurance of hope
until the end. Yeah.
That you do not become sluggish. That you do not become sluggish. And Pastor Cam, that's exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when we have what I call the battle of the time lapse.
Yeah.
That means after I pray, there is a lapse of time that I am going to experience before I receive the manifestation of what I'm believing for.
Yeah.
And the key is that we don't become lazy and sluggish and begin to give up.
Yeah, I think it's important here to realize that Paul said that we should fight the good fight of faith. One of the things that I've realized as I've talked to people throughout the years is that it's almost like people don't realize that the fight of faith is a good fight, meaning it's a fight that's worthwhile. And a lot of times the most difficult things, I've talked about this before, you know, our fight of faith is kind of this metaphysical thing. It's like we don't see the battle. It's not necessarily that we're able to watch the progression happen. You know, I'm such a physical person. I love to see. I'm a visual person. I love things like mowing my lawn because you can see when you're done. You can see that the grass is this high when you start, and then when you're done, you see that the grass is that high. That's the way my brain works. So for me, whenever I started developing my faith, one of the difficult things was not really being able to see, okay, well, it was at this point, and now it's at this point, or whatever. But that's the thing, is it's a fight worth fighting. It's a good fight. And that's why Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, it's so important to realize that we don't need to become sluggish. We need to pick ourselves up. We need to grab ourselves up by our, you know, that old expression, grab yourself by the bootstraps and pull yourself up. Why? Because it's a fight worth fighting. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't be distracted. Don't think, well, I should have had it by now or anything like that. Because all things, all good things that are worth having come at a price, and they come at a cost, and they're worth it. You know, but that's one of the saddest things, you know, when you just look at life in general, some people aren't willing to put in what it takes to get the best out of life. And it's the same thing with God. Some people are not willing to put in what it takes to get what they desire from their relationship with God, or not even what we desire, what God desires. God desires for us to walk in his promises. God desires for us to walk in the things that he said are our reality, but he also knows that there's a promise. I constantly think about that scripture in Philippians that says that he who has begun a good work in you is able to finish, or it says to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, to work it out, to work out your salvation, to walk in your salvation, to realize that the day you raised your hand, the day you said the prayer, the day you texted, "I got saved" to 97,000 was the beginning of a journey. That was not the end all be all. Giving your life over to Jesus, surrendering to Jesus, it's a means to an end. It's not the end. It's the beginning of your relationship. And so that's why it's so important. Whenever, you know, I was at the gym last night and I was doing a movement that I had never really done before in my entire life. And I lifted the weight up, realized that I needed to get a lesser weight, went over, grabbed lesser weight. But what I didn't do was I didn't get discouraged by not being able to lift the amount of weight that I wanted to lift. I realized that I had to take a step back. I had to not be sluggish, not be sad, not go, "Oh, I guess I'm just going to go home." I picked up that lesser amount of weight, lifted it up, kept on doing the reps. And I know that because of last night, because I didn't get sluggish, because I didn't get distracted, I'm going to be stronger next week. I'm going to be able to add weight next week. It's the same thing with our fight of faith. It's the same thing with not being sluggish. We have to imitate. I love what it says here right after that, you do not become sluggish. It says, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You can't look at Pastor or myself or Mama Tava or Pastor Robert or Pastor David or the different people in the Pastor Jeff, the different pastors in the church, you can't look at them and be discouraged by the walk of faith that they have. You've got to be inspired by that. That's why if you were to go downstairs,
say, I'm gonna get there.
I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get to that point. It's not that I'm gonna, because that's another thing that causes us to be sluggish. Whenever we compare ourselves to other people.
Disappointment.
We get disappointed. We say, oh, I'll never be how Pastor Al is, or I'll never get into the place where Pastor Cameron is. Well, guess what? I can tell you, I've known this man my whole life, and he's grown. He's grown.
And continues
to grow. And that's the reason why you can look at him, and the reason why you can be inspired by his life is not because he's arrived. It's because he knows that he's constantly arriving, that he's in a journey. And that rubbed off on me. And that's one of the reasons why I love growth. I love forward motion. I love it whenever I realize that I've got to move past an obstacle that's in front of me, because I know what I'm walking towards. Mm-hmm. Let other people be an inspiration for you, not condemnation for you.
And let me also inject this, because when it says that you do not become sluggish, this is something that people miss so many times in the body of Christ. And sometimes the reason they miss it is because religion has literally separated it and eradicated it from the teaching of the Word of God. And that is this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, it is this. He says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God. And then it goes right on down and says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue, that means a spiritual language given to you supernaturally by God that you've never learned before in your life. It happened on the day of Pentecost. It happened all the way through the book of Acts. And it says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself up.
Wow.
In other words, it's like a battery recharger.
Yeah,
it's like a dynamo. It just keeps you strong, keeps you going. And lo and behold, it is a gift given to every single believer. All you have to do is ask for it. And once you ask for it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. The Lord will do that. You don't have to tarry for it. It is there. It is a gift. And once that language comes out, Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When that tongue begins to come out, listen, Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all.
All of you.
Why? Because he was beat up more than anybody else. He went through more difficulties and trials and tribulations that are beyond me, what that man went through, but he was able to endure every single one of them. And how did he do it? He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And it's important that you understand and learn that speaking in tongues is not something you just do when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and say, oh yeah, I did that 20 years ago. No, it's something that you do on a regular basis, just like breathing, just like eating, just like everything else. Listen, I can probably say to every one of you looking at me, I pray in tongues more than you all. I pray in tongues all the time.
Yeah.
And I keep myself built up, because I get attacked with doubt. I get attacked with unbelief. I get attacked with these things, the pressures, the stresses of ministry and things of that nature. But I keep praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So listen to what he says. He said, imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promises. We have inherited the promises. Now we're going back to Abraham. Watch this. For when God made a promise to Abraham, when he made the promise, he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. Why? Because he's not a man that he should lie. He made an oath. Every promise we have, God has sworn by those promises. And here's what he said, saying, this is the promise, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And how long did he have to wait before that promise was manifested? Quite some time. But you know what? It said, and so after he patiently endured, folks, don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't give in.
Yeah.
Come on, get back up. Start praying in the Spirit. Meditate on the Word of God. The Word of God is fire. It'll become fire in your bones. The Word of God is your foundation. The Word of God is the Word of Almighty God. It is the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So he said, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So what happened? Every time Abraham would speak out his name, it was prophesying. It was declaring the final outcome.
Yeah.
It was it was prophesying and declaring the end of what God had promised.
Yeah.
And so how did he start this? He started this by believing in faith, and then he started confessing and declaring out of his mouth.
Can I say something
yes,
there?
Yes, please.
Just kind of based off of everything that we're talking right now, your strength and what you need to carry on is not found in the monumental. It's found in the mundane.
That's good.
So what do I mean by that? So many people want their faith strengthened by some amazing encounter down in the front at an altar after a pastor has prayed for
you.
People think that their strength is found of, okay, if Pastor Al lays his hands on me and I fall out in the Holy Spirit, then everything's going to be different. My life is going to change. And from then on out, I'm never going to have any problems. We've got to get out of the mentality where we think that our life is going to change because of monumental moments and not because of mundane moments.
So good.
The reason why people like us have been able to continue on in our life is because we've found out that strength is in the mundane. It's in reading your Bible every single morning. It's in praying in the Spirit. While he was speaking, I looked up Jude 20, and I don't have to read it because I have it memorized. Beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's a continual thing. It's doing it every single day. You look at, like, Pastor is a big golfer. So how did he become good at golf? It wasn't just waking up one morning and just being good at golf or getting struck by lightning or bit by some radioactive spider or something like that. Like some superhero story where, oh, all of a sudden I'm really good at golf and I can play in the amateur open.
Or just getting someone to lay hands on me and pray for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To experience it and I run out and I'm...
And now I'm good at... No, he would go out to the driving range and he would hit golf ball after golf ball after golf ball after golf ball and swing and swing and make tiny adjustments. And it was the mundane that made him who he was. We look up to these athletes. We look up to people like LeBron James or even Michael Jordan. You know, I was watching a documentary on Michael Jordan and they were talking about him and they said practice would end and he would just stay out on the court shooting free throws. Just sitting there. Or if somebody said, hey, you need to work on your three-pointer, he would just sit there and he would stand at that three-point line and he would shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. And that's what made him the greatest basketball
player. How bad do you want this?
How bad do you want it? So
that's
the thing.
What price are you willing to pay?
Exactly.
Because we, for some reason in America until COVID hit, we didn't want to go through or have to sacrifice anything.
Right.
We just wanted it to happen. And so we started chasing after signs, wonders, and miracles. Let it happen to me. Let it happen to me. You know, that type of thing. And then if it didn't happen to me, then what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
It's because we're not, you said it, you were not fighting the fight of faith.
Fight.
Ask our military men. We are in a military town.
Well, and you ask them, ask a military person the difference between a peacetime soldier and a wartime soldier. Because a peacetime soldier, they're sitting there and they're changing mags every single day. They're out on the firing range, they're shooting. But when wartime comes, they can get out there and they can get the job done. You get a wartime soldier who's being trained up and it's like, hey, you got to get out there, you got to get out there quick and you got to be the best quick. They're different. And it's not that they're bad soldiers, it's just those peacetime soldiers are a force to be reckoned with because they go through the mundane
practice.
Training,
practice,
practicing. And so that's what I'm trying to say here is for Abraham, it was hearing his name and speaking his name every single day, Father of many nations, Father of many nations, Father of many nations, Father
he
of many
prophesying.
Nations.
He was prophesying exactly what God said. And Moses did the same thing.
And here's
Pastor Cam?
Here's the interesting thing. I really want to say this. So Abraham's encounter with God led him into the mundane thing. Mm-hmm. So his monumental encounter led him to the mundane thing. So that encounter with God led to his name being changed and him hearing his name change every single day, hearing Father of the many nations every single day until it manifested in the promise. So it's not that we're saying that encounters are bad things. Of course, we want people to encounter the Lord, but it's that realization of I've got journals and journals of times with God. And almost every single monumental encounter I've had with God, he's turned me right back to his word. He's turned me right back to prayer. He's turned me right back to speaking in tongues. He turned me right back into those tools, yes. those tools that might not seem like they're making a lot of forward motion in a moment. But whenever you get a year down the line, 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, where you've been doing that stuff every single day, you're a totally different person.
Amen. And that's called renewing your mind and the power of the word of God.
Yeah.
You renew your mind. Jesus said, my word is spirit and it is life.
Yeah.
And so as I pray in the spirit, as I study the word of God, I speak the word of God, then all of a sudden when I start filling my heart with the word of God, you know what happens? Then when I face an issue that is bigger than I am, more powerful than I am, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing Moses did when he saw Pharaoh. What did he do? He turned to the people and said, he prophesied. Because what is prophecy? Prophecy is declaring the promises and the purposes of God.
Yeah.
It is the foretelling of future events in accordance to God's will. Listen to what Moses said. Here he is declaring God's promise, declaring what God said, and he is also now foretelling what he believes in his heart is going to happen to Pharaoh. Do not be afraid. We're going back to Exodus 14:13. Do not be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord prophesying this, which he will accomplish for you today. That's confidence in the Lord. For the Egyptians, watch this, foretelling now what he believes is going to happen to the problem they're seeing and to the enemy. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. And you know, the Bible tells us in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 6, last part of that, it says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Because every time you declare the promises of God, you're prophesying to the circumstances in accordance to God's will. According to confidence, God's will. Now, a lot of people think this, okay? They think like this. Okay, well, I just thought prophecy was just for prophets. Oh, really? Let me do this. Let me read something to you in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verse 31. It says this. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. He said, For you can all prophesy one by one, that you all may learn and all may be encouraged.
So good.
And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you begin to prophesy, you are declaring to your circumstance what God has said about your issue,
yes.
What God has said about your report.
Yes.
And sometimes we just kind of get in that place of fear. We pull back. We isolate ourselves instead of standing up and saying, hear the word of the Lord, my issue. Hear the word of the Lord, my circumstances. Thus saith the Lord God. How did Jesus answer the devil when the devil brought his temptations in? He answered this. It is written, glory to God. You need to start prophesying. You need to start saying to your problem and to your issue.
Written.
Quit being silent. Quit allowing the enemy and fear to tie your tongue and you become mute in that circumstance. Stand up. What did David do? Praise God. David came to Goliath, and what did he do in 1 Samuel 17? He prophesied to Goliath. Goliath prophesied to him, told him he's going to kill him. David turned around and said, no, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Some of you need to stand up right now, and you need to start speaking with boldness. You need to start speaking with passion, and you need to start speaking with fervency concerning what you're facing right now. And get up and speak to that mountain.
Yes.
Get up and start declaring in Jesus' name. name. Thus saith the Lord. I speak to you, O mountain. I speak to you, circumstance. This is what God says Jesus in Jesus' name. And you need to do that, okay? So in the last few moments we have, listen to this. Don't let the words of your mouth begin to defeat you and become your downfall.
Yes.
Don't let negative thoughts become your speech and conversation, especially if you're in the waiting period. You'll cancel out your victory. Here's what he said. The Lord will fight for you. Watch this. And you shall hold your peace. The word peace there means to keep silent and hold off of your words. And Pastor Cam, that was so important because that generation, they were constantly speaking the opposite of God.
Yeah.
Their words defeated them.
Yeah.
This generation that we just read and talked about, they never entered into the promised land and inherited what God had promised. You know why? If you read through Exodus, you will find out, and Numbers, starting Numbers 13 and 14, it was because of their words.
Yeah.
Their words defeated them. Why? Because it's the way they saw themselves. Only Caleb and Joshua were able to enter. You know why? Because the children of Israel said, we can't do it. We see ourselves like grasshoppers. God can't do it. It's over with for us. And guess what? They did not go in. How about Joshua at the conquest of Jericho? God said, march around 7 times. But you know what he said to them in Joshua, the 6th chapter? He said this. Now, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. In other words, he knew that because of what they were looking at was so insurmountable to them, so overwhelming to them, that if they started speaking, they could cancel out their victory that God had already promised them. But not only that, the last one I want to say to you is this. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was muted by God himself because of his unbelief. Because God basically said, if we don't shut Zacharias' mouth, we're never going to see John the Baptist. We're not going to see this miracle. We're not going to see this. So Zacharias, Pastor Cam, he had to mute his mouth. He had to shut him up or he'd have messed everything up. Finally, at the end, when Zacharias got the revelation of why he was mute, when they said, well, let's call him something else, he said, and Zacharias wrote, no, you're going to call him John. That moment, his mouth was open. So ask yourself this. Are your words lifting you up? Are your words speaking to your circumstance and declaring what God's word says? Are your words putting you into a place in a pit of despair? Are your words defeating you? Are your words declaring that there's going to be a negative outcome? If our words do not line up with the word of God, you know what we need to do? We need to repent.
Yeah.
We need to repent because I need to make sure that my words and the meditation of my heart are acceptable unto God.
Amen.
What is acceptable unto God? It is God's word.
Yeah.
Praise God. And that's the key. Listen, I wrote this down. You can hold your peace, but don't hold back your praise.
Amen.
You can hold your peace, but don't hold back your praise. Do a checkup from the neck up to find out what is coming out of your mouth. Whatever's coming in your mouth is coming out of your heart, and it's also coming out of your mind.
Amen.
So you must watch that today, and you need to change everything if you need to change it to get into alignment with the Word of God. Let me say this to you that is so vital to your life, and it is this. If you've never received Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, you are open game for the devil.
That's right.
Okay, he's moving in your life. All he wants to do is kill you, destroy you, bring ruin into your life. That's what he loves to do. But the biggest thing is his deception, his lies to you. Listen, without Jesus Christ, your life is totally empty. You can have a relationship. You can have success. You can have material things, titles, accolades. But without Jesus, you're going to be empty. You know why? Because it's through Jesus that the Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you and you become one with God and come into the family. So I want to say this to you. If you've never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you will never be fully satisfied. You'll never understand purpose and meaning to life apart from God. God will forgive you your sins, and He will come to live inside of you if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You confess Him as Lord and surrender your complete life to Him. Now you're going to know life for the first time in your life. And if you've been away from God, repent and come back. The reason that you're watching us today is because the Spirit of God has drawn you here because you've been living apart from God. You've been backsliding. You got away from God. You're in sin. Why do you want to allow the enemy to continue to destroy your life? Get out of that. How? By repenting of your sins. I want you to pray this with me and Cam right now, to receive Jesus or repent of your sins. Pray this with me. Father God.
Father God.
I believe that Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. I believe He died for me.
On a cross.
And You raised Him from the dead.
Today,
I
repent of all my sins.
And I ask Your forgiveness. In Jesus' name.
And this day.
For the rest of my life.
I confess.
Jesus Christ.
As Lord.
Of my life. And my friend, if you prayed that with us, right there on the screen, it says, I got saved. Go to that. Let us know that you received Jesus or you have come back into the family of God. Amen. And don't forget, all of you that are listening to us, keep sharing this with your friends. Let people know. Invite people over to your house. Amen. And on Sundays and Wednesdays, and get people in front of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will do some mighty things. Amen. Thank you for all that you are giving, and continue to give your tithes and your offerings. The devil is unleashing his funds into the kingdom of darkness, into his work. Hey, born-again believers, don't stop your giving. Don't let us in any way, shape, or form miss a beat of getting the Word of God out to the whole world. Continue your giving. It's right there on the screen, all the different ways that you can give. But let's continue to give our tithes and our offerings, and let's continue to get this Word out. That's how the nation will change. That's how the world will change, one heart at a time. Amen. We love you very much. God bless you, and have a great week as you prophesy the Word of God.